Out in the hall all by myself, I notice how clear it is. No fog anyplace. It's a little cold where the nurse just went past, and the white tubes in the ceiling circulate frozen light like rods of glowing ice, like frosted refrigerator coils rigged up to glow white. The rods stretch down to the staff room door where the nurse just turned in at the end of the hall. A heavy steel door, just like the door of the shock shop in Building 1, except there are numbers printed on this one. And this one has a little glass peephole up head high to let the staff peek out at who's knocking. As I get closer, I see there's light seeping out this peephole, green light, bitter as bile. The staff meeting is about to start in there, is why there's this green seepage. It'll be all over the walls and windows by the time the meeting is halfway through for me to sponge off and squeeze in my bucket, use the water later to clear the drains in the latrine. Cleaning the staff room is always bad. The things I've had to clean up in these meetings nobody'd believe. Horrible things. Poisons manufactured right out of skin pores and acids in the air strong enough to melt a man. I've seen it. I've been in some meetings where the table legs strained and contorted and the chairs knotted and the walls gritted against one another till you could have wrung sweat out of the room. I've been in meetings where they kept talking about a patient so long that the patient materialized in the flesh, nude on the coffee table in front of them, vulnerable to any fiendish notion they took. They'd have him smeared around in an awful mess before they were finished. That's why they have me at the staff meetings, because they can be such a messy affair and somebody has to clean up. And since the staff room is open only during the meeting, it's got to be somebody they think won't be able to spread the word what's going on. That's me. I've been at it so long, sponging and dusting and mopping this staff room and the old wooden one at the other place, that the staff usually don't even notice me. I move around in my chores and they see right through me like I wasn't there. The only thing they'd miss if I didn't show up would be the sponge and the water bucket floating around. But this time when I tap at the door and the big nurse looks through the peephole, she looks dead at me, and she takes longer than ordinary unlocking that door to let me in. Her face has come back into shape, strong as ever, it seems to me. Everybody else goes ahead spooning sugar in their coffee and borrowing cigarettes, the way they do before every meeting, but there's a tenseness in the air. I think it's because of me at first. Then I notice that the big nurse hasn't even sat down, hasn't even bothered to get herself a cup of coffee. She lets me slip through the door and stabs me again with both eyes as I go past her, closes that door when I'm in and locks it, and pivots around and glares at me some more. I know she's suspicious. I thought she might be too upset by the way McMurphy defied her to pay any attention to me, but she don't look shook at all. She's clear-headed and wondering now just how did Mr. Bromden hear that acute McMurphy asking him to raise his hand on that vote? She's wondering how did he know to lay down his mop and go sit with the acutes in front of that TV set? None of the other chronics did that. She's wondering if it isn't time we did some checking on our Mr. Chief Bromden.